Welcome to First Formation, spiritual exercise for Christian soldiers looking to get the fuck up and pray. Join Pew Pew HQ every weekday morning to hear the good news through grunts and with grunts, in the unity of the Holy Spirit as one church, forever and ever. Fall in. Psalm 36, verses 5 through 11. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. How gracious is your steadfast love, O God! All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life, in your light we see light. Oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your salvation to the upright of heart. Do not let the foot of the arrogant tread on me, or the hand of the wicked drive me away. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth. And the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison to those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they set forth, I tell you of them. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls with a sprinkling of ashes of a heifer sanctifies those who have been defiled so that their flesh is purified, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to worship the living God? For this reason he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, because the death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions under the first covenant. Good morning and welcome to Monday of Holy Week. This is Brother Logan Isaac broadcasting from Walkersville, Maryland. This morning's readings come to us from Psalm 36, Isaiah 42, and Hebrews 9. There's a couple of things that stood out. The first that doesn't have as much to do with the rest is that I've noticed, and a part of this Bible study I gave, From Darkness to Light, the people who sat in darkness is a theme in Matthew 4, which quotes Isaiah 9, and it also appears in the Benedictus of Zechariah when it talks about, you know, from darkness to light, and people who walk in darkness be led in the path of peace, etc. And that's usually from Isaiah 9, which cites Zebulun and Naphtali, who were the commando clans who were carried away with the 10 lost tribes after they separated from the southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin, I think. And the in Isaiah 42, however, the darkness is from those who are imprisoned, from the prison those who sit in darkness. So if you're in darkness, you're in prison, and you will be released from that darkness. And it's a repetition in 42 verse 7, to give as a covenant to the people, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. And so the darkness in Isaiah 1 seems to do with anguish and gloom around the contempt that was heaped upon them and the contempt they were known by in the former times. But in latter times, a light will shine on them. And I suggest that that darkness is something like melancholia, the black bile that covered the earth from the beginning, which is just formless, meaningless, nothingness, nowhereness. And so Isaiah 9 uses, or kind of like piggybacks on the language of creation to show that God is creating a new thing through from this gloom and anguish. And in Isaiah 42, it's explicit. It's they were imprisoned. And in the New Testament, when Jesus uses these words, the Greek is actually eikmelotos, which means taken at the point of a spear, which is a prisoner of war. Spears were used in war, not in policing or anything else. They were literally POWs. But what I thought was important to bring up this morning was from Hebrews. And I may have mentioned this before, and I'll keep mentioning it because I think it's important, not to point out something wrong, but to point out the importance of understanding the nature of the one who came to save and where that imagery comes from. So in Hebrews, it talks about the high priest, who's Jesus, and it uses the language of goats and calves. And then it says goats and bulls, and then it says a heifer. And Hebrews, throughout Hebrews, the sacrificial animals are repeated in strict adherence to Leviticus and Numbers and the Old Testament. And sheep does not appear. Sheep, baby sheep, are suggested for the Passover. The Passover sacrifice actually says, either take your calf either from the goats or the sheep. And if you can't afford that, go with the family who can, or sacrifice a pigeon or something. Something easy. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a sheep. Do what you can afford, and that's Passover. Yom Kippur, however, which is the other high holy day that Jesus' passion and execution take, Yom Kippur must be a goat, or two goats, actually, one for God, one for Azazel, or it's sometimes called the scapegoat and the goat of God. And they must be goats. They can't be sheep, they can't be heifers, they can't be anything, right? And some of this confusion comes in because John's literature, Johannine literature, pumps up this thing that he calls the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And that kind of draws off of the, I think it's Isaiah, where it says, yeah, verse 2, he will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. And another portion of, I think, Isaiah says that the Messiah will be silent like sheep before the shearer. But the problem with that is that you're mixing metaphors. Maybe he's doing it deliberately. Let's just pretend he's doing it deliberately. There's no sheep that takes away the sins of the world. There isn't even a sheep that, the Paschal sacrifice is not necessarily a sheep. So Hebrews is careful to use precise language, and sheep doesn't appear because what is required at Passover is a calf, any herd animal that's not a bovine, not a cow. And so herdlings or herd animals, you can call them all calves, even though they might each have their own name, like a kid or a lamb in English, but in Hebrew, it's not quite the same. Hebrews is really careful to use precise language. John is not. In fact, John mixes metaphors, perhaps deliberately. It's not the only time he does this. He also does this with the high priest's robes. He says that He implies that Jesus' tunic, the undergarment, is not torn in John 19:23, is not torn and it's seamless. But he calls it an undergarment, a tunic, what Jesus has had taken from the soldiers, and they cast lots for his clothes, and they say, oh, we shouldn't tear it. And it mentions that it's seamless. And that's actually the outer garment, the robe. And John confuses the two, whereas Exodus 28, verse 4, makes it very clear they're specifically different items. And so this mixing of metaphors may be deliberate, may be by mistake, I don't know. But in particular, in terms of like the goat, God is the goat. God is not a lamb. There is no place in which it must be a lamb. But there are several places where it must be a goat, like Yom Kippur. And that matters because a goat is less likely to be silent. It doesn't need to be shorn. And the characteristics of holiness, when we think about the sacrificial animal being a cantankerous goat, is significant. We don't have to live up to, human standards of docility and gentility. Like, that's fine. I'm sure that gets you some brownie points, but that isn't requisite. That is not something that the Israelite tradition requires of people of God. I'm sure there are other ways of interpreting all this, and that's also kind of reinforcing my point that the Bible takes a permissive stance. A more permissive stance on holiness than people usually do. And that's good news for grunts because they don't typically adhere to social decorum. They either, I think I know it and dislike it, but an argument can be made that I don't know it. And I'm not the only one. I've talked to a lot of soldiers and veterans who don't like, putting on a face and pretending, and, coming back from combat feels like culture clash, not because of, just culture, but also because like the privilege that we have here is striking. Like when you spend a year and a half in an impoverished nation, you come home and people, only give a shit about themselves. Like, it's difficult. And so how we interact with one another, what things are important, what symbols we use to reinforce, appropriate or expected social behavior, these things are important. And it's important that God is, in fact, the goat, much more likely than he is a sheep. A prayer for the poor and neglected from the Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful God, we remember before you all poor and neglected persons whom it would be easy for us to forget. The homeless and the destitute, the old and the sick, and all who have none to care for them. Help us to heal those who are broken in body or spirit, and to turn their sorrow into joy. Grant this, Father, for the love of your Son, who for our sake became poor, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for falling into First Formation, where PewPewHQ shares morning prayers for the humble, hardy folk caught in the crosshairs of God and country. If you like what you've heard, you can participate in one of the three following ways. First, you can support the podcast at patreon.com/pewpewhq. You can contribute as little as $1 a month, and you can cancel at any time if I ever piss you off. Second, you can become a co-host by recording a lectionary reading for a future episode. Instructions will be provided, and you don't have to be a grunt to collaborate with PewPewHQ in this or any way. Finally, you can also record and send prayer requests of a minute or less. Prayers can be included in an episode, read anonymously if you wish, or kept private for me to pray for off-air. So there you have it, three ways to participate in First Formation. I hope you'll continue to listen, even if I can't convince you to jump in. This has been Brother Logan Isaac, always faithful, always family. Semper Familia.